So wonderful to see all of you, the opportunity to learn together. And again, I hope everyone's doing well, and I look forward to the day when we can join each other back in person and learn together once again. Okay, we are climbing our way through the laws of Amir Lanachri. We're going through the sugi, and of course, at the end, we're going to bring it all in, make it all halach lamaisa, even though we try to do that as we go along. But I really want us to try to understand the sugya. If we were giving one class, so I would just go through the Rosh Prakim. Because we're a kollel, because we're an afternoon kollel, so I really want to learn the sugyas. I want to help you understand how halachas that you see in Shulchan Aruch, in a Ber Halacha, in a Mishnah Berurah, in a Magen Avraham, don't just appear out of nowhere, but rather they're an evolution of a way of understanding Gemara that is found through the Rishonim and onwards. And again, to me, that's the excitement of Torah learning. That's what makes Torah learning so dynamic, is that it's not a closed book, but it's an open book. It's a book that's alive, and it's a book that continues to be interpreted to this very day. So with that, I'm going to share my screen so that we can see my source sheets. Here we go. Okay. If you recall, we were studying the Gemara. The Mishnah said the following, Nachri shedlik asaner mishtamish lori Yisrael, that if a Nachri, junior, again, I'm going to pick on junior as I have been each and every week. So if junior lights a candle, he turns on the light in the room because he needs to use it. So I am allowed to use it. V'im bishvil Yisrael, but if junior turns on the light for me, then it's usser. Similarly, mile mayim lahashkos behemto, let's say junior fills a bucket of water in order to feed his animal. Mashke acharav Yisrael, so I'm allowed to use that water. V'im bishvil Yisrael, usser, but again, if he does it for me, then it's going to be a problem. And lastly, this is the case we've been dealing with most prominently. Asa Nachri Kevesh Li Yaridbo. Again, the boat comes into the harbor. A Nachri makes a ramp in order for me to go down the ramp. Yorid Acharav Yisrael, so the Jew is allowed to go down that ramp. But V'im Bishvil Yisrael, but let's say the Nachri makes the ramp only for me, then it's going to be Asar for me to use it. Then we quoted the Maisa, Rabban Gamliel, V'Zakenim Shayubam Bisfina, story of Rabban Gamliel and the Zakenim that were on a boat. V'asa Nachri Kevesh Liaribo, and the Nachri makes a ramp in order for Rabban Gamliel to go down it, and Rabban Gamliel used it. So first of all, the Gemara starts off by wondering, why do you need all three of the cases? Why do you need the case of the Nair, of the Mayim, and of the Kevesh? That's the first part of the Gemara. We've seen that in previous weeks. But then the Gemara says the following, and this is critically important if you want to follow the Shir, and if you want a good summary of what we've done in the previous weeks, this is it. Tana Rabbanan. Nachri Shaliket Hashavim Machil Acharav Yisrael. Nachri is gathering grains. Jews allowed to do it afterwards. But again, you notice my underline here. V'im Bishvil Yisrael Aser. If the Nachri does it for the Jew, that's going to be a problem. Then Mile Mayim Lahashkos Behemto. Again, a Nachri draws water. Mashka Acharav Yisrael V'im Bishvil Yisrael Aser. Again, so far so good. Bamed Dvar Mamurim. When do we say it's Aser for the Jew to use it? She'ein makiro. That's only if the goy doesn't know, if he's not familiar with the Jew. Ava makiro. But let's say the goy is familiar with the Jew, like junior is to me. Then it is going to be usser, which implies that even if junior's not doing it for me, but junior's familiar with me, that familiarity is going to be a problem. Hold that in the back of your mind. Amar mar, b'medvar mamurim, she'ein makiru, ava makiru aser. Again, if the goy knows the Jew, that's when it's going to be a problem. Ask the Gemara the obvious question, how Rabban Gamliel makira have? Rabban Gamliel, as we pointed out in previous weeks, was a nasi. He was a very prominent figure. How is it that they didn't know who Rabban Gamliel is? So, here we come to our two answers. Amar Abaye, shelo b'fanav have. Abaye says, even though there's familiarity, because Rabban Gamliel was not in front of the goy, therefore, it's not going to be a problem. Rava Amar, Rava says, afilu teim b'fanav, even if they were in front of each other, even if they were present, one with each other, ner le'echad, ner le'meya, the reason why the ramp is okay is because the goy knows that by him making a ramp, it's going to be used by many people, and therefore Rabban Gamliel is able to use it. So we saw Rava's answer previous leaks. And now, I want to take some time to analyze Abaye's answer. Abaye's answer of Shelo b'fanav have, that he was not in front of him. Again, it would be the equivalent of me saying, Junior does something, okay? Junior knows who I am. But because I'm not in front of Junior when he does that, says Abaye, that in and of itself is a reason for why it's allowed to be mutter. Okay? Now, if you notice, the Gemara is quite explicit. And the Gemara says the following. Rava Amar, afilu teima b'fanav. Remember, Abayi said that they were shelo b'fanav. That Rav Gamliel was not in front of the goy. Rava says, even if Rav Gamliel was in front of a goy, and therefore you would think it's aser, there's a reason to say it's mutter, and that's ner la'echa, ner la'meya. Now, I ask you, is Rava rejecting Abaye, or is Rava building upon Abaye? In general, in Shas, when we have a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, who do we paskin like? We paskin like Rava, with the exception of a few cases in Shas. This is not one of them. So when we say afilu teima b'fanav, even if you argue Abaye that they're in front of each other, and therefore you Abaye would say that it should be aser, nonetheless it could be mutter because of ner echad ner lameya. Is Rava rejecting Abaye, or is Rava building upon Abaye? This obviously has important nafkamina lahalacha. Says the Rashba, Rava ama afiyu teima b'fanav, ner lecha ner lameya, umiyu, however, vadai mode le Abaye. Says the Rashba, we're not saying that Abaye is wrong. Of course Rava agrees to Abaye, he's simply adding on to Abaye. And what is he adding on to Abaye? That even if the Jew is present, he's still allowed to benefit from the malacha because of ner lecha ner lameya. Let's read that inside. Miu vadai mode le Abaye, dechol shelo b'fanav, afilu b'di'ika le'afusha, right? Even if they're not in front of one another. Afilu b'di'ika le'afusha b'shvil Yisrael, ve'afilu b'makiro, even if Junior knows me, and even if there's a concern that Junior might add on for me, since I am not in front of him, it's going to be permissible. V'rava afilu b'fanav. Rava's teaching me a chiddush, that even if the Jew is b'fanav, ka'asi l'mishrei, there's, and you Abaye would say that it's aser, Rava comes along and says there's still an opportunity for me to benefit from the malacha anyways. Why? Because of Rava's principle of ner le'echad, ner le'meya. So according to the Rashba, Rava's not rejecting Abaye. Rava's simply adding on an additional kula to Abaye. Abaye says if it's b'fanav, you got a problem. Rava says, and if it's not b'fanav, you're fine. Rava says, even if it's b'fanav, even if Junior is standing in front of me, still, there's a leniency, and that is ner le'echad, ner le'meya. That is the Rashba's interpretation. Come along the Rambam, and the Rambam says the following. What are we talking about, okay, here? When is it going to be mutter? That's when the goy does not know, he's not familiar with the Jew. The goy does not know the Jew. Why? And this is critical because the Rambam is telling us what our concern here should be. Shema yarba b'malachto b'shvilo, v'nimsa ose b'shvil Yisrael. We're afraid that in the case of Makiro, that in the case where Junior knows who I am, that Junior saying, you know what, I'm putting up a kettle of hot water, I'm making myself a cup of coffee. We're afraid that because Junior, I'll give you actually a real life example, right? Shabbos morning, pre-COVID. So I would always go into the kitchen after Hashka Minyan and I would partake of a cup of coffee, right? I was usually there early in the morning. I'd be in shul for a long period of time. I needed my fuel. And so what I would normally do is I would go into the kitchen and I would make myself a cup of coffee. I would take a Winn-Dixie cookies, which are delicious, and I would give myself a little bit of Oneg Shabbos, even though I had to be there on Shabbos morning, right? So let's say Junior knows that I like my coffee. I'm still in Ashkamin, and Junior goes in and he realizes that the hot water wasn't put on that morning. So Junior is going to make himself a cup of coffee. Now, legitimately, Junior's making it for himself. But what are we concerned? That even if I'm not there, because Junior knows me, we're afraid that he's going to add on water for me. We're afraid that Junior is going to do something on my behalf. Now, the Rambam doesn't quote Abaye at all. Remember, Abaye's concern is bifanav or shalo bifanav. The Rambam doesn't quote that at all. All he quotes is this concept of familiarity. Is Junior familiar with me? Or is Junior not familiar with me? He does not quote Abaye at all. He does not distinguish and differentiate whether it's b'fanav or whether it's shelo b'fanav. Says the Magen Mishra, well, there's one or two ways of understanding it. Either the reason why the Rambam does not quote Abaye is because Abaye is so obvious, there's no reason to mention it. In other words, right, if I'm in front of you, obviously it's going to be a problem. And if I'm not in front of you, obviously it's not going to be a problem. Or, number two, you could argue that they reject Abaye altogether. Now, of course, there's going to be an important nafkamina lahalacha, depending on whether you reject Abaye or don't reject Abaye. Says the Magen Mishnah, Ubevadei afilu b'makiro, even if Junior knows me, kol shelo b'fanav, shein lacho shemayar b'bishvilo humutar, as long as I'm not in front of Junior, it's going to be okay. Which is quite intuitive if you think about it, right? Think about how many goyim I know in the world. Think about how many Jews Junior knows. So are you going to say that any Jew that Junior knows is automatically pasul from anything Junior does on Shabbos? That we are categorically prohibited from doing any benefit from something that Junior does? Junior on Shabbos afternoon decides to do something on his own behalf. I come Shabbos afternoon for Mincha. Are we assuming that because Junior knows me, then all of a sudden, categorically, I'm prohibited from benefiting from what Junior does for himself, says the Magen Mishnah? You could easily read the Rambam that that's impossible. And so Abaye is obvious, that the only concern that Junior is going to add on for me is if I'm in front of Junior, right? I'm in the kitchen with Junior on Shabbos morning. Then it's a legitimate concern that Junior is going to add on hot water on my behalf. I'm standing in front of him. I'm on his consciousness. But if I'm nowhere to be found, are we concerned that just because Junior knows me, that's going to be a problem? No, says the Magen Mishnah. And that's why, says the Magen Mishnah, the Rambam doesn't even mention Abaye. Because Abaye is so obvious that presence has to be a fundamental factor in our calculations. And then he says, maybe, umikol makom behilchos lo heviyu ha de Abaye, ve'efshar shedaitam de Rava lomode el Abaye. Maybe Rava doesn't agree with Abaye at all. Maybe he's rejecting Abaye. Ela tola hakol b'makiro. For Rava, what's important is not whether I'm present or not, but rather for Rava, what's important is that I am familiar with you. V'chilek bein davar sheish bo kedei laharbos l'davar she'ein bo. In the heter of Rava, again, we have to find the heter for Rav and Gamliel. The heter of Rava is that despite the fact that they knew who Rav and Gamliel was, nonetheless, there's room for a kula. What's that room for kula? It's whether it's ner lecha, ner lemeya. Whether it's something that is scalable to many people. Okay. Now, let's just recap for a second and catch everyone up to speed, because I know it's a little bit of a challenging Gemara, and I'm really trying not to fly through the Gemara. I want to give us an understanding of how Rishonim read into Gemara, how halacha develops from a Gemara. So we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah seemed to say that the sole criteria in whether or not we are matir something is it's a question of who benefited from it. If the goy benefited from it, it's okay. If the Jew benefited from it, it's not okay. We have a brisa that comes along and says, wait a second, makiro or lo makiro. In addition to who benefited from it, we have another concern, and that is, were they acquainted or not? And then, subsequently in the Gemara, Abaye adds a third criteria, in addition to benefit, in addition to familiarity, there's a question of presence. Am I present in front of the goy, or am I not present in front of the goy? And what the Rashba and the Rambam and so many others are trying to figure out is, what is the interplay between these three? How far do you take them, right? So for example, again, these are our examples. Let's say I'm not in front of Junior. Okay, but Junior is familiar with me. Is that a problem? What if I am in front of Junior, but Junior has no clue who I am? There's no makira whatsoever. Is that a problem? That's what all of the Rishonim are trying to figure out, is what is the interplay between these three considerations? So some of them are obvious. For example, if it is done on my behalf, then it's game over. Case closed, end of the story. If Junior does a malacha for me on my behalf, then you and I have a problem. But what happens if it's not done on my behalf? But what if I'm acquainted with Junior? Junior knows who I am. So then, it's still going to be a problem, according to the Gemara. Abaye comes along and says, if the goy has never met you, but you're still in front of them, that's also going to be a problem. So those three are introducing us to the three problems, and they're helping us understand, and all the Rishonim are helping us understand. Again, the interplay between those three considerations. According to the Magen Mishnah, explaining Abaye, he wants to know what is the important parameter. And he says that even if you are acquainted, as long as you are not in front of him, then we're not afraid that the goy is going to add on for you. Which makes sense, right? I go to BRS West for Shabbos. Okay, I'm 5 miles away from BRS. Junior puts up a pot of coffee for himself. I come Shabbos afternoon, I walk back from BRS West. I can't take it anymore. I need to be back on Montoya Circle. I don't know if Rabbi Brand is here, but I didn't mean to insult him. Right? So I can't stay. I need to be back. Rabbi Brand's here. Right? I need to be back. So I walk back to Montoya Circle. Am I allowed to partake of that coffee? Am I allowed to partake of the hot water? Well, it wasn't done for my benefit. Okay? Junior is acquainted with me, but says the Magen Mishnah, because the Chiddush of Abaye is that because I'm not in front of Junior, obviously, I am not on Junior's mind. And if I'm not on Junior's mind, then it's not going to be prohibited for me to partake and to benefit from it. And so acquaintance and being present play off of each other to determine whether what? Well, exactly what the Rambam told us. What's the Rambam's concern? Oh, where are we here? The Rambam's concern is, Shema Yarbe b'malachto bishvilo v'nimsa osa bishvil Yisrael. We're afraid that the goy is going to add on for me. Comes along the Magen Mishnah and says that acquaintance and presence are two of the factors that play into determining whether or not the Jew is going to add on for me or not on Shabbos. That is the calculation that we are going for. The Aruch HaShulchan points out, again, this notion that the Rambam leaves the opinion of Abaye out of his comments. The Aruch HaShulchan says, of course the Rambam left Abaye out of his comments. It's obvious. Abaye is so obvious, it doesn't need to be stated. How does he know Abaye is obvious? Well, if you look here in the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, Harei Shekasav, Kishei Eino Yehudi V'Yisrael, the Goy and the Jew. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you're Medayik in that Lashon, what do you see? Kolomar Kishei Biyachad. It means that they are together, one with each other. They are present in front of each other. V'Lashon HaMishnah Muchach Gamkein. Says, if you read the Mishnah carefully, it also implies this. Midetnan Mashke Acharav. Remember, the Goy is drawing water, and the Jew is right behind him. Machil Acharav, the Jew is right behind him. Yored Acharav, the Jew is walking down right afterwards. Mahu Lashon Acharav. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, what is this language of after him? Ela Shalashon Zeh, who Kishom Dimeyachad. It must mean, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that they're together. Umitchila Ose Zeh. First the Goy does it for himself. V'acharav Ose Hasheni. Deem lokin havi laloma mile maim lahashkos behemto, mutter lisra lahashkos behemto. Ulafize, nirlani as daiti barada rifa rambam ve rasha lo kasuze. Even though they don't quote Abaye again, Abaye is the concern of bifanov, presence. Mifurash zezehu mibnesha kevan shetiku lashna mishna mimela morish hembi yachad. It's obvious to us that they are together, says the Aruch HaShulchan, and now let's just reread the Magen Mishnah again, because again, I think it drives home this point. He says, V'vadai, afilu b'makiro. Again, Junior and I know each other. Presence is there. But kol shalo b'fanav, if I am at BRS West for Shabbos, I was not in front of Junior when he made the pot of coffee, in lacho shema yarbe b'shvilo. We are not concerned of the Rambam's concern that Junior made more coffee for me, and therefore it's mutter. So those are our three concerns. Those are the three the criteria that we look at in determining whether or not the goy did it for me. Again, if the first, we're trying to define benefit. What does it mean that it's for my benefit? How do we determine who the goy is doing it for? Comes along the Magen Avram and says very similarly. Magen Avram says, Imakiro Aser, that if Junior knows who I am, it's Aser. What if it's not in front of me? Mutter. Then it's okay. I'm at BRS West for Shabbos. This is halach l'maisa the Magen Avram. But, adds the Magen Avram, v'im yodea shetzarech lo. What if Junior knows that I'm coming back from BRS West on Shabbos? Okay, Junior knows that I'm going to take a long walk. It's going to be the bitter cold of Boca in the winter. And I'm going to need a cup of coffee when I come. then afilu shelo befanav aser, then it's going to be aser, because that's what we said. If it's for my benefit, then game over, case closed. If Junior knows I need that cup of coffee, then signed, sealed, and delivered. There's nothing else to talk about. So what I've tried to show you so far is the interplay between these three considerations of benefit, who's benefiting for it, acquaintance, are we acquainted or not, and bifanav, shelo bifanav. Those are the three significant criteria in determining whether the Jew's actions become prohibited, whether the goy's actions become prohibited for a Jew or not. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan and tells us historically something very interesting. What if a Jew goes to visit his goyish friend on Shabbos? Okay, I go and visit Junior's house on Shabbos. Let's say my neighbor is non-Jew, and my neighbor and I make a play date on Shabbos. I am going to go over his house. Am I allowed to drink the goy's coffee or not? Okay, I'll give you another example. What if I'm in a hotel for Shabbos, right? And they have in the lobby the free breakfast. They have in the lobby a pot of coffee. So am I allowed to partake of that coffee that I know for sure was brewed on Shabbos? Says the Aruch HaShulchan the following. Ve'erachti b'zeh lefi shezeh minag rabim miYisrael shehochlim l'michirehem einam yehudim mishabbos lishtos chamim. Right? Apparently, in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan, it was commonplace that Jews would go to their neighbors, their acquaintances, their non-Jews, on Shabbos, to be able to drink a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Vehema mikuravim umakirin zedze. They knew each other very well. They were good friends with one another. It was a standing play date. Ula divrei Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef isura kavdi. According to the Beis Yosef, it's usur. Why? Well, remember we had two ways of understanding the Rambam's exclusion of Abaye. Either the Rambam excluded Abaye because Abaye was so obvious, or the Rambam excluded Abaye because he rejected Abaye. Beis Yosef assumes that the Rambam rejected Abaye. And if the Rambam rejects Abaye, again, Abaye is whether I'm in front of him or not in front of him. If the Rambam rejects Abaye, well, then we're left with only two criteria left. Criteria number one was it for my benefit? We're assuming not here. The goy is doing it for his own benefit. Well, criteria number two becomes makiro o shelo makiro. Does the goy know me or does the goy not know me? In the case here, does the goy know me? Of course the goy knows me, right? We're good friends. We're doing it all the time. So for the Beis Yosef, that's going to be a problem. L'chein be'arnu de'kevan de'arba amude olam hitiruze. However, because many people, the Rif and others, include the opinion of Abaye, and therefore here, since the goy made the coffee before I ever came to the house, well, now let's go through our three criteria again. Is it for my benefit? No, the goy was doing it for himself. I happen to be just tagging along. Right? Are we acquainted? Yes, we're acquainted. But is it bifanav or shelo bifanav? Abaye says, because it was shelo bifanav, because the goy makes the coffee before I even come to the house, now that's exactly the heter of Abaye. We have nothing to worry about whatsoever. Yesh lanu al mi lismoch. We have what to rely upon. Especially here, where all we're talking about is a chashash derabanan. Here, we're allowed to be mutter because of Abaye's heter. Abaye's heter is that I am not in front of the non-Jew, and therefore, because I'm not in front of the non-Jew, it's okay. And so the first tier, again, let's go through our calculations. The first tier is if it's done on your behalf or not. If it's done on your behalf, game over, close the books, lights out, it's going to be usher. Once you get past that, once you can argue that the goy is simply doing it for himself, remember the Rashba last week we saw, that when he's doing it for himself and a Jew, we assume that his primarily is doing it for himself. So once you assume that, then acquaintance and presence become a factor. If you're like the Beis Yosef and you reject Abaye and all you have is acquaintance, you're going to have a problem here. If you couple acquaintance and presence, so even though the goy and I are acquainted here, since I was not present, there, says the Aruch HaShulchan, there is room to be mekel. Okay? Let's come to the Ber Halacha now. Ber Halacha says the following. If a goy is aware of the Jew's needs, it is always going to be usher. even if he's not acquainted or even if he's not present. Okay? I'll say that again. If the goy is aware of my needs, even if we're not acquainted or we're not present, it is going to be a problem. Okay? Now, how does this work with Rabban Gamliel? Because the goy knew Rabban Gamliel, and he knew that Rabban Gamliel needed the ramp to come down. How then is it okay? Right? Still, Abaye says it's okay because I'm not in his presence. Rather, what must you say? You must say that the goy knowing something doesn't automatically mean that the goy is doing it on Jew's behalf. If the Jew is not present, maybe you can be lenient and say that even though we're acquainted, and even though he's aware of my needs, since I'm not in front of him, he didn't have me in mind, so to speak, when he did it. So even though Junior knows that I like my cup of coffee on Shabbos morning, and even though I know Junior very well, maybe you'd argue, according to Abaye, even in that case, since I was not in front of Junior at the time, there's room to be make it. Let's learn the Be'er Halacha right now. Says the Be'er Halacha of Emes, Ein nafka mina bezeh ladina. De'afilu, again, we're talking about whether you reject or accept Abaye. De'afilu im nifso kani rebus el hakel. Halo kasav amagin avram de'dafka im eino yodea ha'eino Yehudi she'Yisrael sarichlo. The heter only works if the goy doesn't know that the Jew needs it. But if the goy knows that the Jew needs it, that's a problem. Because if it's for my benefit, if he knows I need it, then everyone's going to say it's aser. De'ikar hatam de'mitzrachi befanav. What was Abaye's line of reasoning that he required befanav? Right? It's so that the Jew would know that he did it on his behalf. V'im kain. Even when the goy knows that the Jew needs it, aser, af shelo b'fanav. It's going to be aser, even if I'm not in front of the goy. Right? Again, because he knows now that he's doing it on my behalf. V'divrei ha'magin avram niflu mimeni. He says, I understand this. Da'be kevesh Rabban Gamliel yodea inu yudi shetzrichim la'kevesh. In Rabban Gamliel's case, the goy knew that Rabban Gamliel needed it. And even despite the fact that it's illogical, despite the fact that we would have thought that because the Eino Yehudi knew Rav Gamliel and knew that Rav Gamliel needed the ramp, still Abaye comes along and says it's mutter because it's shalom b'fanav. It implies that according to many Rishonim, it's only when it's b'fanav that it's aser. And as long as I'm not in front of the goy, it is going to be okay. V'svara gedoli hi l'ani azdaiti. De'bimashi yeda ina Yehudi shetzarech ha'Yisrael ina muchrach shi'echavin bishvilo. The chiddush, says the Be'er Halacha, the chiddush of Abaye, is that even if the non-Jew knows that the Jew needs something, it's not automatic that he's doing it on behalf of the Jew. The only time it becomes automatic if he's doing it on behalf of the Jew, is if the Jew is in front of him. Da'atu yichavin bishvil kol makirav. Right? Because then he would have to assume that anyone the goy knows is going to be a problem. V'raka sheyodea shetzarech v'gamu b'fanav no sein da'atio l'chavin bishvilo. It's only when he knows that I need it and I'm in front of him, that's when we're going to assume that Junior did it on my behalf. But if I'm not in front of Junior, even if Junior knows that I like my cup of coffee, says the Be'er Halacha, b'chiddush, and that is that we don't have to assume that he is doing it on behalf. And so if the Jew is not present, maybe we can be lenient, even if we're acquainted, and even if he's aware of my needs, maybe nonetheless we are going to be able to be lenient in that case. And so we're putting a bow on our reading of the Gemara and the three central prime criteria in defining benefit, in defining what it means to be done on the Jew's behalf. If it's on my behalf, usser, nothing to talk about. If it's not on my behalf, well, then maybe we have what to talk about. Is it makiro, lo makiro? Are we acquainted, or are we not acquainted? Do we accept Abaye, or do we not accept Abaye? If we accept Abaye, well then, even if we're acquainted and I'm lo b'fanav, then that's going to be a reason for a leniency. If we reject Abaye, then acquaintance suddenly carries a lot more might and a lot more power, and that becomes a significant problem. Last part of the sugi that I want to do today is what happens if the Jew does, the goy does do something for me, right? Let's say Junior does malacha on my behalf. Okay, it's us, sir. It's a problem. Are you allowed to benefit from it? I'm in the kitchen, and Junior does something on my behalf. He makes a cup of coffee for me on my behalf. And then Gordon Haas comes into the kitchen afterwards. Is he allowed to benefit from the cup of coffee that Junior made for me? Junior never had him in mind. Junior's never even met him. He's new to the community. Junior doesn't even know him, right? Gordon walks into the kitchen. The fact that it's usher for me, does it make it usher for him also? So says the Gemara in Beitza here as follows. Amar Papa Hilchsa Nachrish Evi Doron Li Yisrael B'Yantiv. A non-Jew brings a package, a present, to a Jew on Yantiv. So, right, we're talking about like fruits. Im Yesh Me'oso Amin B'Mechubar. If you have those types of little fruits that are still connected to the ground, usher, then it's going to be usher. Why? What are we afraid of? We're afraid that the non-Jew picked it on Yantiv. Ula Erev Nami Yisur B'Chrei She'asu. And even after Yantiv, it's going to be usher. B'Chrei She'asu knows the amount of time that it would have taken the goy to pick it after Yantiv. V'imein may also amin b'chubar. But what if it's all picked? We have no concern whatsoever that the goy picked it on Shabbos. Tocha tchum mutter. Then, if it's in the tchum, it's going to be mutter. Chutz l'tchum aser, because outside of the tchum, we're afraid that the goy is bringing it to me. Finishes the Gemara. V'haba bishvil Yisrael zeh. What if the goy brings it for me? Mutter l'Yisrael acher. Then it is going to be mutter for you. Now, Rashi struggles with this a little bit. And Rashi says that maybe it's usser for the other Jew. And that no Jews can appreciate it. Isn't it against the Gemara? So Rashi gives two interpretations. Says Rashi, tchutz l'tchum usser, that chutz l'tchum it's going to be utter. Lo shamati tamakubel davi. He says, I don't understand why chutz l'tchum it's going to be usser. Dimi shim shenasa bo usser bishvilo. If it's because the goy did a malach on my behalf, im kein li yisrael acher nami usser. Right, if Junior turns on the light for me, the Gemara in Shabbos has said that it's usher for all Jews. It didn't differentiate between me and anyone else in the room. So answers Rashi, no, there's an important difference. Tchum is just a derabanan. And on a derabanan, we weren't so machmir. V'dayan imam surum alzeh. And therefore, it's enough to just make it usher to me. However, if it's a deoraisa, that is going to be a separate distinction. Number two, says Rashi, tamachir nirli chutz l'tchum asurin gezeira shami yishlach bishvilo. Why is it that chutz l'tchum, it's going to be usher for Gordon Haas? Junior brings me a package of chutz l'tchum. For me, it's usher. Everyone agrees with that. Why is it going to be usher for Gordon? The answer is because we're afraid that he's then going to say, oh, this works well. I can have Junior bring me stuff chutz l'tchum. I'm going to go ask Junior to do that for me as well. V'haba bishvil zeh mutter l'acher to leik l'migzor b'ashein makiro. But in a case where Junior and Gordon Haas don't know each other, I'm not afraid that Gordon's going to have the chutzpah to go up to Junior and ask him to do him a favor. It's only when it's makiro. It's only when I know them. So here you have a case of a goy bringing something from a different village, right? We say mutter l'Yisrael acher. It's mutter for another Jew. Says Rashi, either because we're talking about a case of Einam Akiro, or because we're talking about a case of Derabanan. And Derabanan, we're not so machmir. But if the case in the Gemara over there was a Deraisa, then everyone would agree it's Usser l'Yisrael acher. Comes along the Ramban, and the Ramban says, is there such a thing that is only Usser for me and mutter for another people? Generally, we don't make distinctions. Right, we don't say it's Shabbos for me, it's not Shabbos for you. We don't say it's kosher for me, it's not kosher for you. We don't make those distinctions in halacha. All of a sudden here, we're going to make a distinction in halacha. Says the Ramban, yeah. You want to know why we're going to make a distinction in halacha? Very simply. Because some halachas are objective and some halachas are subjective. Kashrus is a objective halacha. You and I have to keep Shabbos. We have to keep Borer and Dash and Lush and all these wonderful halachas on Shabbos. What about Tchum? Is tchum a objective malacha or a subjective halacha? The answer is it's a subjective halacha because my tchum is going to be different than Rabbi Brand's tchum at BRS West, possibly. And Rabbi Brand's tchum is going to be different than a tchum in someone in Miami, which will be different than someone in in Savannah, Georgia, right? And so says the Milchamos Hashem, says the Ramban. Because Tchum is an inherently subjective concept, once it's objective, then it's only going to apply to me and not to everyone else. Says the Milchamos, Lefi Shehu Isser, She'eno Shava Bechol. It's an Isser that's not equal to everyone. Hu Chutzlet, right, Bechozeh. Lezeh Hu Chutzlet Tchum, V'lezeh She'arev, O Shehu Samach Lem Koma Mutter. Right, something could be mutter for you and usser for me, or usser or mutter for me and usser for you. That's the nature of tchum. If you live in my town, it's going to be mutter for me. If you don't live in my town, it's going to be usser for you. V'cheiman she'usser l'chol Yisrael. Since it's not like Shabbos, and it's not what I'll call an objective halacha, in other words, it's subjective to the person and the time and the place, lo asru el azeh sheba bishvilo. That's why in this specific case, it's limited to me, and not to other people. Okay, so what we saw today, what I tried to share with you today, when we learn in person again, you could have as many cups of coffee as you want. Okay? On me, with that nasty creamer, and the delicious cookies and the fruit. Okay, so what did we see today? We were trying to define today, what is benefit, and what does it mean to be done on a Jew's behalf? Okay, and what we described is three criteria. One is on a Jew's behalf, two is acquaintance, and three is bifanav or shalo bifanav. And as opposed to last year, where we really tried to zone in and understand Rava's opinion of Ner Lecha, Ner Lameya, this year, what we tried to do is really understand Abaye's interpretation, how Abaye fits in with the notion of acquaintance and with the notion of benefit. And what we came to the conclusion of, according to the Magen Mishnah, according to the Magen Avram, according to the Aruch Shulchan and others, is that there's an interplay. There's like a conversation taking place between all three of these. If it's done for my benefit, categorically, shut. If it's not done for my benefit, then that's where we talk about acquaintance in Bifanav v'shelo Bifanav. In the Chiddush of Abaye, is that even if Junior and I are acquainted with one another, still there's room for a heter. Why? The room for a heter is whether I'm bifanav or shalo bifanav. That maybe if I'm shalo bifanav, there's a leniency. And the Aruch HaShulchan took that even a step further and said, even if Junior knows of my needs, he's not doing it on my behalf, but he knows I need it, maybe you could still be makil over there. Why? Because I am shalo bifanav. That, says the Aruch HaShulchan and the Magen Mishnah and the Magen Avram, etc., is the chiddush of Abaye. But they say it's so obvious to Abaye. That's why the Rambam doesn't even mention it. Because without Abaye, it's illogical. Without Abaye, you would have to say that any Jew that Junior knows is automatically prohibited from anything he does for himself on Shabbos. That's a very big statement. And that's why so many people assume that while the Rambam doesn't quote it, of course, that is what the Rambam means. Next week, to be continued, but big shkoa.